Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Ray, have you ever been in a situation where a teammate did something crazy on the ice and then you had to speak on it post-game?
No. Trying to think of something that would be anywhere close. I mean, the closest incident that I ever was around was the Hunter Turgeon play, but those guys would have had to speak about it, not us.
Right.
Because it was easy for us to have an opinion on it. No, not like that. I mean, I saw what Mayfield said, and there's a certain, I mean, you'll defend your teammates as far as you possibly can, but there's a certain point, isn't there, that you just like, man, I can't even come up with a way to defend that. Like, what he did was stupid and dangerous, and it was idiotic, actually, what he did. I can't even imagine that guy would have the privilege of playing in the NFL anymore.
I think he will.
So just think, the thing that he swung is supposed to protect your skull from getting crushed in a game. And that's what he swung. Like, why would he be, what suspension is deep enough for this guy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys can speak to it, though. The Players Association, you know they're going to get involved, and they're going to fight, and he's going to appeal.
Well, normally, too, it's the consequence of the incident that determines the suspension. Like, thankfully, he's not hurt, but could you imagine if he was hurt?
Well, no kidding. If he was, like, knocked out, which he easily could have been,
or he split his head open?
Like, at what level, like, I mean, it's probably not far from this, but at what level, if you can remember back to Marty McSorley and Donald Brashear, do the courts get involved?
Yeah, like, Todd Bertuzzi, too.
Right. Do the courts have a place on the playing field? That's long been a discussion long back to when Dan Maloney of the Leafs, this was the first one I remember, he I don't know what he did. He jumped Mark Tardif, I think the player was, and who ended up injured, and that ended up in a manslaughter charge. I think it was tossed out at some point. But do the courts belong? I don't know, but what he did last night doesn't belong in football. There, if he's allowed to play, then that means that the system can't penalize strongly enough.
Well, we were kind of joking about this in the previous hour. It's not a funny matter, but when you consider the history of hockey, how many brawls there's been, how many times guys have swung their stick and connected.
Well, just think of the way Ray played. Ray played with feistiness. He played with that sort of piss and vinegar. And
there'd be brawls all the time.
You were never going to do that, hey? No. Like, you would, like, you just, for certain things, like, you would, even the most vicious of guys would, I mean, has there been a handful of them? I don't know. Has there been more? I don't know, Brian. Can you remember a whole bunch of them?
I'm not even comparing the two. I guess what I'm saying is, like, not from that extent. Not like assault.
I've seen more incidents with fans than I have with players.
Right, where fans are getting crazy in the stands. Is that what you mean? Yeah.
Like Domi, the guy jumping into the box. Rob Ray beating the crap out of the guy on the bench. Tried to jump
that
the bench.
That was in Quebec. That was a bad move by that guy.
Yeah, he immediately regretted that after 15 bombs to the head. I guess what I'm saying is, like, just, you know, it's always like the day after. It's like, oh, the top 10 melees. And I'm like, there could be 10, like, team-on-team brawls. Remember, Pooley was involved in that in the 86 with him and the Habs, the Flyers and the Habs, during warm-up, a team-on-team brawl for like a half an hour.
Okay, but see, you guys are young, right? Like, I ran into an old junior teammate of mine yesterday who coaches the Texas Stars, the Dallas AHL team. And we got talking about a brawl that we were in Brandon, it was in Regina when we were playing for the Brandon Wheat Kings. And it was before the start of the second period, and it lasted, I don't know, 25 or 30 minutes. He said, Derek Laxall is his name, he remembers three of those that year. Three full bench-clearing brawls.
Right. Fans in the stands watching.
And cheering. Like, just think, our parents thought it was a good idea to send us off to play junior hockey.
I can remember minor, like, minor hockey brawls where you were so young, no one was getting helmets off or anything like that. But, like, the benches, like, someone opened the doors. You're, like, 10 years old, and you're like, I guess I'm going out.
Do you remember the minor hockey brawl we were in with Ty Lawson?
Yes.
When he ripped off the guy's face mask, screws and everything
in
a brawl.
I was hanging out in the corner. Talking to you, probably.
Don't kid yourself. When I was in those brawls, I was looking for the other 5'9" guy on their team.
Oh yeah,
but and like, I got my guy.
I never had to look too hard because he was looking for me.
Oh, you'd connect, right? Like you'd be like, that looks like a guy who'd be interested in just talking to me and pretending like we're tough.
So, an incident that I just remembered in hockey, sort of as vicious as this one, was back in 2004 when Alexander Pereshchukin, the guy from the Hamilton Bulldogs, slashed that Garrett Stafford over the head. We had no helmet on.
Right.
And knocked him out, convulsions, and Pereshchukin never played a game in the NHL or, I don't think, overseas again.
Well,
you remember that, Ray?
I do. I have a recollection of it. I don't recall that was the player, but I do recall that he was never part of the Canadiens organization past that. I'm just thinking here so you can say, like, does this guy have a long track record? Does he, has he been suspended before? I'm sure all of that goes into it. But what he did was so vicious and could have had really quite tragic circumstance. I mean, I don't even think that's an exaggeration. And as I said earlier, this is the instrument that is supposed to protect your skull from getting shattered, and he's swinging it at a guy with no helmet on.
Yeah, an NFL helmet weighs 6 pounds, and this guy is, 6'3", 290. He's swinging that thing like it's a Skittle. But, regrettably, your talent and your ability factor into the reaction from the league. And Myles Garrett was a first overall pick 2 years ago. He's an absolute superstar stud. So he's not going anywhere.
No.
Like, if this was some guy who just happened to be there, it'd be easy for the league to say, we're done. We're going to make an example out of him. They're not going to make an example out of Myles Garrett. No chance.
Don't worry. If the NFL can find a way to put their left foot in it, they will.
Absolutely.
I mean, for years, I always used to say, man, the NFL gets just about everything right. Then they've been on this run where they get nothing right. Like, it seems like they get nothing right anymore. And this is another chance for them to, like, if they bail on the season-long suspension here, they're gonna look silly.
Yeah, be so gutless. So gutless. Alex Kerfoot out indefinitely. One more top nine guy out of the lineup. No one's gonna feel bad for the Leafs. I mean, Boston has a lot of injuries. They're in Pittsburgh tomorrow night. Their best player will not be playing. But how big of a hole does Kerfoot leave?
Well, Babcock likes him because he's got a little spice to his game that he doesn't back away, that he can skate. But for all those that have said, Spets has never really had a chance here, and he hasn't. I mean, he was out before he was in. What an opportunity for him here, because the way the roster's constructed, it's not like they can put Gauthier there or Nick Shore there and think that they're going to get anything from that line. Like, this is an opportunity for Spezza to grab a spot here and to play for however long Kerfoot's out. I mean, I have no idea how long he's going to be out or what they say he's going to be out, but this is a great opportunity for Spezza. It really is. It's probably his last best opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Ray, you throughout your career, you're a really good power play guy. I mean, I quarterbacked a power play in my career. What do you see wrong with this Maple Leafs power play, and how do they fix it?
Well, for me, Carlo, it seems like they look so much for seams, and they look for the seams first before they shoot the puck. I always found that when we shot the puck, and if you win a puck battle for it, the penalty killers are going to sag a little bit. They're not going to be able to be as aggressive. Right now, they look for that seam pass right away.
Mm-hmm.
And the seam pass gets deflected. get shot down the ice. Now you got to waste 15 seconds to go get it. You screw up a break-in, you know, you screw up the entry into the zone. Now it's another 15 seconds. And, you know, once that thing starts going south, it's like the 2 minutes just flies by. It just, you can't believe another one's gone. So for me, it's like they don't have as simplistic approach as I'd like them to see. They've got guys that can shoot the puck, so shoot it. Yeah. They've got Tavares in front of the net now. Get it to the front of the net because he can work there, and he does terrific work there. But in my mind, it's too much around the perimeter. It's too much looking for the backdoor tap-in or the backdoor one-timer. Just shoot it, attack it, and then start to look for the open play.
Yeah, it's almost like you need to see a little bit more selfishness on there. Would you like to see Tyson Barrie be given a chance on that first unit to get some of his confidence back?
Look, I think they're 4 for their last 53 or 4 for 47 or something or other. There's a certain point where even though it worked last year, it doesn't work right now, so why not change it?
Yeah.
Last year, Barrie had 25 points on the power play in Colorado. He can really shoot the puck. If you put a right-hander at the top and you've got Matthews on the top of that left-right circle, now you've opened up that one-timer to Barrie that's not a one-timer with Riley. Riley doesn't shoot the one-timer.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it gives you another option, another wrinkle to have a power play or a penalty kill have to try and defend it.
We were, I think, joking, but maybe we weren't earlier in the week, about the idea of McDavid, you know, racking up 10 points in a game. I think it was a serious conversation, but it's difficult to tell sometimes.
Yes.
And listen, last night he had 6 so quick that I was kind of thinking he might get up against it. But I threw out another number in the 4 p.m. hour, which I think is more realistic. McDavid and Draisaitl combined for 15 points in a game. Do you think that's possible?
Well, why not? Right?
They had 11 last night.
And they only played 2 periods, basically.
Right.
It is amazing what they're doing. I read this stat today that since 2002-03, nobody's been quicker to 40 points than Draisaitl. I mean, that's astounding. Since Mario Lemieux. Like, it's amazing. And yet, McDavid had the 6 points. He only had 5. You know, so he's got 41 points. The two of them are, they both lead the league, right? 1 and 2. Point guys 3 and 4 for here for Boston. And it is astounding what McDavid can do. I said today, you know, he's in this league because there isn't another one, right?
Right,
true. Where else is he going to play?
I hope Tippett, you know, don't screw around here. Like, I understand that ideally they'd like to split them up, and they've talked about that forever. And then you've got
more depth.
But don't do it. Don't do it for the well-being of the sport. Leave the two of them together.
Yeah, I'm sure Dave will take your stuff into consideration.
Yeah, you should. I'll send him an email if I have to.
Yeah, if you do it, you could. Yeah. Do it.
Next time you see him, mention that I mentioned that.
Yeah, I'll say, you know that guy that thinks he's a captain in Toronto? Yeah, he wants you to leave them together.
Right.
Ray, do you think it's sustainable what these guys are doing? I mean, they're pretty top heavy in Edmonton.
Yeah, well, no, I think it's somewhere, Carlo. They're going to get banged up. They're going to, you know, they're going to slow down a little bit here. Somebody's going to have to score more than they have. Although Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is starting to get on track, and that's a big deal for them. Nuge is he's a hell of a player. And if he can get rolling a bit, that gives them a little more depth. But they're going to need more than this.
Leafs Bruins tonight, the Hall of Fame game. It's going to be fun down there. Enjoy, buddy. We'll do it again on Monday.
You betcha. We'll talk to you then. See you, Carl.
See you, Ray.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. For the month of November, receive free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle that is financed or leased. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland, MapleToyota.com.